Today, we're talking about betrayal, because betrayal creates one of the most disorienting human experiences there is. And I want to start with the truth that people don't say out loud enough. Betrayal doesn't just break your heart, it breaks your reality. And the story that you tell yourself about this betrayal could be more damaging than the event itself. Welcome to the only therapy podcast that can actually change your life. I'm therapist Amy Neufeld, and I do things a little differently around here. I'm going to give you clinical insight you've never heard before. And best of all, I'm going to tell you what to actually do to change your fucking life. This is Now What? This topic has been taking up a lot of space in my brain because I was recently on the How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast, talking about affairs. And one of the hosts of How Not to Suck at Divorce, best title ever of a podcast, she's here with me today. She's also one of my marketing strategists, Andrea Rappaport. Hey, Andrea.
Hey. You know, it kind of goes beyond, not kind of, it 100% goes beyond a romantic affair, you know, any kind of betrayal, any time that you think something is one thing and then you find out it's another. If it's like a friendship where you feel betrayed, if it's someone at work, your children, something, some kind of major dishonesty or something that it really rattles us. And then I started thinking about things that I've experienced and how I probably didn't even realize how much my body was consumed. Like I couldn't think about anything else and I didn't even know that that was happening.
What makes betrayal so uniquely painful? It attacks two things our nervous system depends on for survival. It attacks trust and prediction. Your brain is constantly trying to answer one question. Am I safe? And it does that by building a mental model of the people around you. This person loves me. This person has my back. This person is safe. But when betrayal happens, that model, it collapses entirely. So it isn't just heartbreak. It's actually neurological shock. And there's another layer that people don't always think about. At the very deep cellular level, our cellular wiring, humans are built to belong to a group. So thousands of years ago. It's not hundreds.
That sounds
right.
It's
a really long time ago.
Thousands sounds better. Yeah.
Okay, good. Thousands of years ago, when humans lived in tribes, belonging wasn't just emotional, like you're the greatest friend or, oh my gosh, I found the one. It was survival. You can't hunt solo or you'll die. If you were pushed out of the tribe, that meant that you were suddenly alone and in a dangerous environment. It could literally mean death. So our nervous system has evolved to treat threats belonging as serious as danger, which means the modern day version of being pushed out of the tribe, it's rejection and abandonment. And betrayal activates that same ancient alarm system. Betrayal doesn't just hurt because of what happened. It hurts because it threatens the most fundamental needs we have as humans, and that is the need to belong. And once that alarm system turns on, that's when people start to experience the very physical response that betrayal creates.
You don't realize that it really rattles your whole world because it makes you feel like your reality is not what you thought it was. And this group, these people, whether it's like a parent or your romantic partner or your boss or a friend or your child, people who are a part of your tribe, somebody did something that makes your reality totally shift. And it does so quickly. Your body doesn't know that there's not that bear chasing you in the woods. In that moment, and that's what I find so interesting about betrayal, and especially the way that I metabolize it, is that I will freeze. I know for me, it's that immediate sense of I am not safe. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that that's what goes on with me.
You are a freezer. And Andrea, I am a fawner. I fawn. In order to make things okay, I make others okay. So it's really just you're pleasing, you're people pleasing. So I do for others. I make everybody feel okay. And therefore, everything is stable and okay.
Well, yeah, I do that too.
You fight, you freeze, you flee, and you fawn all at once.
Once I'm done freezing, I will go and try to soothe the person who hurt me because I am so scared of them leaving me, even though I should say like, well, fuck you. You hurt me. No, I'm like, what can I do? How can I make this better with you? Then I'll want to run away and hide because I hate conflict. So my ex-husband, before we were married, when we were dating, he had affairs. And I remember when he told me about them, I guess you can't really call it an affair if you're not married. He cheated. But cheaters sound so like 1990s, like that TV show Cheaters. So I feel like he's a cheater. But
you're making it more official by calling it an affair. Okay, go.
Sounds fancier. Yeah, he told me. And I remember like my whole body went numb. I remember where I was. I was sitting in the car and my legs felt kind of tingly. And then I felt like I couldn't feel them. And then I felt scared. And then I remember immediately thinking, this is so funny. He cheated on me, but now is he going to leave me? Like, is it going to get even worse? Instead of me saying, I'm not going to, like, I can't believe you would do this. Go fuck yourself. Then, this is like so embarrassing to share. I cleaned his apartment.
Mm-hmm. Fawned all over the place.
Like, oh my God, I feel like I could start crying right now because it's so sad. I cleaned his apartment. Because I thought, like, maybe I can do more so that he won't do this to me.
Andrea, if we were to strip the story you're giving it, like, wow, I was trying to get him back. Really, what's happening in your body is you are trying to create safety again. And you, this person was safe. So how can I then make that safe again?
Yeah, you're right. And I've done this with friendship betrayals. Amy, what the hell is going on with us?
Well, one thing that you bring up, it is this two realities are going on at the same time when we are betrayed. One is, this is my safe person, this is my safe group. And the other is, that is what is causing this alarm to go off. It is very unsafe. And that cognitive dissonance is what is setting us in to another layer of trauma. We can't make sense of this. So not only are we grappling with this experience in our minds trying to make sense, but our bodies. You described the numbness that you felt, Andrea. People can experience everything physically, from heart racing to stomach hurting, jitteriness in your whole body. That numbness that you're experiencing, it's beautiful, actually. I mean, doesn't feel so great, I know. But this is our body. This is our machine doing what it is meant to do. It is meant to keep us safe. So our system is not registering that person just dumped us. It's registering, shit, I'm in real trouble here. When we're under threat, we're preparing, like you said, to run or to fight or to hide. So that numbness in our hands, that is the body actually pulling blood from our extremities because our hands and feet don't need it. We need the blood to more important organs so that we can run.
Man, if our bodies can pull blood, we wouldn't need all these dispensaries. We'd put a lot of people out of business.
And you know what? Then you'll feel fine. End of segment.
Just a little more THC.
Right. There you go. But it is our system working for us. It is a way to prep to run from that bear you mentioned. What the work is understanding it's not physical danger we're in. We are okay, but we have to honor that our system, our bodies, these machines that we live in are built for one thing, and it is to keep us safe and alive. So if it's registering threat, doesn't know if it's a bear where you're kicked out of your friend group, it's going to react the same way. So we're going to experience these physical sensations because we think we're in danger. You know, that can't sleeping at night. You have brain fog, all those waves of anxiety. There's actually this experience that we don't talk about enough. And it's the rumination, that mind looping, the same thought over and over that you get stuck in.
Visions. I had lots of visions. Like, you're unloading the dishwasher and then there it is. You're at a stoplight and then there it is. So what's that?
Okay, that is your body This is so biological. It's just your body trying to solve the threat. They're trying to say, make sense of what is going on here. It's trying to reconstruct what happened so it can protect you from being blindsided again. So it keeps running that tape and trying to figure it out and solve this. So when people are in that state, they often think what's wrong with them, but it's just the nervous system doing exactly what it was designed to do, to restore safety after something that felt deeply destabilizing.
That's great, body. That's cool that you're doing that. And this feels terrible. So I don't want to experience it. So how do I make it stop?
Okay. I am really glad you asked that because yes, I do want people to know out there that what you are experiencing makes sense. The why of what's happening to your body, that can maybe alleviate some of this. Okay. I'm not losing it here. But certainly we want that feeling to end. No, there's no bear behind us. We need to know that we're okay. So the short answer is yes, it can absolutely get better. But it doesn't get better by ignoring it or trying to force yourself just to move on. Healing from betrayal usually requires processing what happened so your brain can no longer feel like it has to keep solving that threat. We talked about rumination, and that's very different from processing. Rumination, it's involuntary, it's repetitive, it's that unproductive cycle of those negative thoughts. Processing, though, it's active, it's voluntary, there's effort to feel emotions and to understand the event, and processing leads to relief. Ruminating will focus on the other people, the other person, their motives, their behavior, the lies, what happened. Processing starts to bring the focus back to your own experience of what happened. So you can process by talking with another person or by journaling, but you're focusing on your experience of it, what I'm feeling now, how this is affecting me. And you can slowly start to regain a sense of what happened. As the brain begins to organize the experience, the nervous system will slowly start to settle, but it doesn't happen overnight. They just stop feeling really urgent.
Well, you talked about journaling, which is so stupid. Like, I hate journaling. Nobody wants to journal. I know you're a therapist and you love journaling, and I get it. And I'm going to try really hard. You mentioned on my show about just writing, like listing things, a list I can do. I don't want to write to a diary. I don't want to, like, dear kitty. Like, I just, no. But I'm wondering, how will somebody know, somebody listening to this conversation, and they're like, okay, I'm not in therapy right now. How do I know if what I'm managing is something that is at the level where I really need to be in front of a therapist to process? Or how do I know that I can write things down, do a journal if you don't hate journaling, or talk to a friend?
Okay. When the rumination is taking over, when you're not feeling relief, when it's intrusive, when we aren't productive in our day, when the thoughts of what happened is debilitating, when we're not productive, that is when you need to get relief. Whether it is through your own processing with a friend, whether it is through this journaling, which I have dog-eared, we're going back to that in a moment.
I know we
are. Or whether it is getting into a therapist. If it is intruding in your ability to be productive, that is when you need relief. And you deserve relief. That journaling, let me tell you, I use that word. I'll make up a new word someday. It's getting out some sort of, or even if it's a screen, and getting something that you can see, whether it's a doodle as you're thinking, right? You could be expressing it in paint. I want something visual while you're feeling and thinking about what's going on. It's expressive. It could be a list of five words that piss you off. It is, the idea is to get what you're feeling inside your body out. When we say it out loud, we're getting it out, but when we put it on paper, it's really externalizing it. And that's what I want to happen. And there is a part where, you know, that turns into and morphs into another part two of, now after that, you can write down one relief word, we call it, or promise word or future word. But right now, when you're in the moment of feeling the impact of betrayal, getting that list, one sentence, maybe you write more. It doesn't matter. It's taking something that's inside and getting it out where it is externalized. It is outside of you. And that's what we're looking to do. I don't need you to go back and read it.
And something that you said before has really like stuck with me. This feeling, this trauma that has happened to your entire body because of this event, it is not going to just magically go away. You can't push it away. You have to work through it. And then the other thing is, if you don't work through it and you attach a story to this event, you are going to make your life so much harder and so much more painful because you have done the opposite of processing it. You have magnified what's happened and you've made some sort of a proclamation about who you are and what the rest of your life is going to look like when this event, yeah, it sucked, but it really did not need to rock your world to the level that it did.
Correct. And let's remind everybody that the reason it rocked your world isn't just because you think you are not good enough or, oh, it was me. It's not just because of the story that you're giving it. It's because your body is feeling the incredible danger that it thinks it's in. So what we're looking to do is keep that story in check so that the rest of your life, you're not stuck in the story that you're building for this event.
Imagining we've got a person who's suffering, right? And processing's not an overnight thing, not yet. Hold on. I'm going to invent some sort of like overnight processing tool that you can get delivered on Amazon. People want to know what they can actually do. Like, what can they actually do right now to feel stronger so that they're not completely absorbed by this betrayal?
Okay. So if someone listening right now is in the middle of this pain, there are three things I want you to focus on first. And this is where the now what part of the show takes center stage. These action steps will provide immediate relief. And when practiced consistently, they create the stability you need to heal, make clear decisions, and begin moving your life forward. This is where we turn insight into action. Okay. Take a deep breath. I got you. Here's what you're going to do. First, you're going to regulate through routine. When betrayal happens, your system gets thrown into chaos. Your sleep is getting disrupted. Your mind is racing and you're just on edge. One of the most powerful things you can do is bring predictability back into your day. When we feel like something is off, predictability will help us. We think about anxiety. Anxiety is unknown. So when we bring knowns back into our life, when we have predictability, it starts to settle us. Small things matter more than people realize. So sure, getting outside and moving your body and eating regular meals, but I want you to create a predictable routine, a ritual. So if it is getting up at the same time every morning, we might not be able to predict what's happening in the world or what other people around us are doing. We can absolutely, though, be in control of what time we set that alarm for every morning. And that is not about getting up in the morning. It is about doing the same exact thing. So it is giving yourself, your system, your body, something it can expect. And when that happens, these signals will tell your nervous system, I'm safe. Everything's okay. I know what's going to happen. So just look for one predictable routine that you can do in your day.
I think that, you know, when I first heard this action step, it sounded so almost like too simple, right? Like, how is drinking out of the same coffee mug going to really change my life? And then when I thought back to times when I have implemented this and how much it really did make a major imprint on like me feeling more safe and secure. And I'm such a person who really thrives on routines. And we know like children thrive on routines. Maybe I'm still a child, but it's there for a reason. When I'm really overwhelmed, I will have a ritual where I will watch an episode of the same TV show at night before I go to bed. And that gives me something all day to look forward to. I know what's coming. We can talk on another episode why my show of choice is Law and Order SVU, because maybe that does speak to why I have chronic anxiety and a panic disorder. I don't know. But it's something that it really does give me some sort of stability. Stabler brings me stability.
Look at that.
There you go.
Because sure, what is the same turquoise coffee mug that you're going to drink in every morning? What does that really do? I promise you what it's doing to your brain is it's saying, oh yeah, that is something that's going to happen every time. And it feels safe. I prescribe ritual, routine all the time to my clients. The same song on your way to school every morning if you're driving your kids helps your kids know what's going to happen. So you watching your show every night isn't about mind numbing. It isn't about the show. It isn't about, it's your brain latching onto this is going to happen.
You are so right. I just thought of something else. My older son has requested, he's gotten into Green Day, which what a throwback. Like wow. My 11-year-old kid is obsessed with Green Day.
That's
so
awesome.
How funny is that? Like random. He will ask for the same songs to be played on his way to school or on his way to wherever we're going. And I get, it's not just because he likes the song. It's that routine of this is what I'm hearing as I'm going to school.
Yes. No, it is real. Yeah. Sometimes you want to, I don't know what you feel like doing, but needles to eyeballs with some of the songs that came in over and over. And the same movies. Children will watch the same movies over and over again. And it's about known pieces of information is settling. So get that routine going. In the morning, no matter what, set my alarm for 5:23, yep, a.m. And I get up and I drive to Pilates every morning. I could go to the 7 o'clock class sometimes. I could go to the 8 o'clock class sometimes. I choose the 6 a.m. class because it is something in my routine that makes me feel grounded and safe. And that's a really important step for me. So I drag myself out not to get the exercise. That is a wonderful, beautiful byproduct of what's happening. I do it because it is in my routine and it feels safe. And when I don't do it, I feel off.
So we've talked about routine. What else you got, doctor?
Okay. Action step number two, another fun, catchy title is I want you to contain the pain. I do not want you to eliminate the pain. You just structure it. You give yourself an intentional time to feel it. Now, some of us want to push it down and not experience it. Some of us experience it 24/7. I would like us to feel it, but contain it. Whether that's crying, the journal we talked about, talking it through to somebody, even rage if you need to, scream into that pillow. The idea is to not let it take over your entire day, but enough so that you're experiencing it. When we're feeling an overwhelming or a really uncomfortable feeling, that may take over, we think that either pushing it down or not experiencing it is going to get rid of it. That is not what's happening. Counterintuitively, we let ourselves feel the pain, and that's what releases it, not pushing it down and not thinking about it. So if you think pain without structure could easily turn into that rumination that we were talking about, and rumination can make everything feel urgent and catastrophic. So if we contain the pain, not suppress it, but contain it, it gives us space to feel it without letting it run your whole life and feeling it enough so that we can start to digest this, process it, and let it go.
Can you help me understand this action step on a more micro level? Because I feel like it still feels abstract to me. And I'm laughing to myself because when you said contain the pain, it made me think of like something that Hulk Hogan would have said, like contain the pain, brother.
That's so
like,
great.
Or like Mr. T, like I pity the fool who can't contain the pain.
I mean, your references right now, this throwback is great.
And this is a throwback episode. What do we actually do here? Taking 5 minutes to write down our feelings, schedule in our routine, have panic attack at 1 p.m. Like, what are we talking about?
You know what? You're actually right. I mean, as corny and as crazy and as absurd as that sounds, that's what I want you to do. You schedule your pain. I need you to schedule it to contain it. Otherwise, you're never going to feel it or it's going to run your day. Yeah, contain your pain means I don't want it right before bed. I would like to try not to have it right before bed because that affect sleep sometimes, but I would like you to schedule one time in your day to, I'm going to write in my journal. I'm going to give myself a moment to think about all the shit that just happened. I am going to give myself at 7 a.m. this morning, I'm going to give myself time to be really pissed, really sad, really confused about what just happened to me. I'm mm-hmm. going to ask those questions. Why didn't they invite me to the party? What was it? What, give yourself a moment. Yes, it might feel like ruminating for a moment, but we're containing it because we won't let us fall into that major rumination of looping and spinning in it all day long. So we're going to contain the pain. Just means schedule a time to go there, to feel it, to cry.
Okay.
You're touching the pain. So what does it look like? It looks like picking up the phone.
No, I don't want to touch the pain.
You're not going to get burned. This is touching the pain actually lets it go. So I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to call you and say, Andrea, I need 5 minutes to just go off for a second because I am so pissed right now. And then my friend,
that's
you.
That's doable. Oh, I can do that. Doable.
Another example might be to go into your room and scream, nobody's home, scream as loud as you can, like, what the fuck just happened to me? Give yourself a minute to do that shit. When you do it, if you schedule it and say, I'm giving myself a half hour, I'm giving myself 5 minutes to feel this, then you can breathe yourself out of it if you need, like, whew, all right, that was good. See a pain. You close the book, you close the door, you hang up the phone, and you're done.
That helped me more. Okay. So in my brain, action step number two is scream to a person or into my little pillow.
There
now,
you go.
What's action step three?
All right. This one is going to be separate the event from the story. So our brain often creates stories to these traumatic events that happen. In betrayal, it might be, I'm not enough, I can't trust anymore, my life is ruined. Those are interpretations, not facts. So learning to gently separate what's actually happened from the meaning that your mind is attaching can reduce a huge amount of suffering. You're going to, again, I'm big on paper, I know, invest. Get out a piece of paper, get the notes app on your phone, but you want to write a fact like, I didn't get invited to the party. That's a fact. The mm-hmm. story I'm telling myself might be, and you're going to write this, she doesn't like me or I'm weird, is a distorted fact. And the work right now isn't necessarily to work on that distortion. That assumption you're making can be worked on. Bring that to your therapist. You can process that out. We can change that thought. We can CBT it out if you want and replace that faulty thinking.
Do we write that part down too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's what I mean. Like that's something that you can, that we can dive into that. But for this action step, I just want you to see the difference. We've got fact on one side and we've got story we're giving it to the other. You know, he cheated on me. He had an affair is mm-hmm. a fact.
Yeah.
The story that you give to that fact, I'm not enough, is your interpretation of that fact. So seeing the two as separate here is important because, like I said, the betrayal is an event. The story you build around it can shape the next decade of your life. So we want to look at the story we're creating with it and see it separate as fact. The next step to that would be to take that story and change it. But right here, what I want you to recognize is that there is fact and then there's the story you're building around it. And those two things are very separate.
This theme of betrayal and then healing from betrayal, which, oh my God, can we stop using the word healing? Because it's just so, it feels abstract. It feels like this like big old black hole of an unknown, right? And what you just did was you gave like such concrete things that we can all physically do. And the coolest part, cool, is that those concrete little things do have a really dramatic impact on your nervous system because we're doing more. We're not freezing. We're not fawning. We're not doing all these things that I think a lot of us naturally want to do when we're hit with this kind of intense pain that we can't understand.
Right. And Andrea, little action steps are what create movement and change. So if you're looking for change, you're going to do these little action steps.
That's the other thing. We are not wired to believe that. I think we all think that it takes something major to heal something major. She broke my heart, or he broke my heart. Therefore, I need to take
all my girlfriends to Mexico and get wasted on a beach and, you know, have sex with a mariachi band, and that's going to make this better. That ain't going to make it better. You don't think that setting my alarm every day for the same time and going on a walk for the same at the same time every day and writing these feelings down and getting it out at a scheduled time every day, we don't think that that's going to help.
It is the stuff that helps. And again, you lean into the trust. I've got you. I know what I'm doing. I went to school for this shit. So I know this works. It does work. I see it every day. No, you're not going to think that that 5 a.m. alarm is doing anything for you but make you tired. It is correcting your nervous system. That's where the change begins.
What time did you say you get up?
5:23.
To go to Pilates. What time do you go to bed?
I don't need to talk about that.
What do you... Well, I'm asking you. What
Very
time?
Late. Last night was super late. So last night, I probably fell asleep around 1. That's not healthy. Don't do as I do. Do as I say.
What do you do before? Like, do you have a routine before you go? Do you watch a show every night? Like, what goes on in your world?
Yeah, my routine is not involved in a show. But I will tell you, when I was under some hot spots in my life, that did help. And my show was New Girl.
That My Girl is show. A very sad movie that should not be, like, that's when the kid dies of bee stings.
Right. I need to watch somebody.
He doesn't have his glasses on.
Worse off than me. That's what I do. That's what I watch. No, I watched New Girl and I did that. No, my routine is different. I do the dishes at night after everything, after chilling with the kids or playing Scrabble with my son. Or dancing with my other son. We put on music and we dance around the house like nobody's watching because nobody is, sadly. I take my computer over to the sink and I put on some sort of something podcast or a show or How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast. I put on something and I do the dishes. And that's silly, I know, but it is really enjoyable to me. The dishes are not. I'm not one of those. I love doing laundry, but it is a routine and my body craves it. It's so funny. I'm saying this right now. And my God, it is not about the dishes, although they have to get done. It is not about them. I do not like them, but it is my routine. And I stand there and I putz around in the kitchen while I'm watching my show.
That's so funny. I have to do the dishes right after dinner. I do not like them sitting there. Is part of my routine, though, is, God, I sound like such like a mommy and a housewife, but doing the dishes. And then my favorite part of the night is I dim all the lights in my house. The house goes from bright daytime light to dark, soft evening light, and it brings me so much joy. I go over to those dimmers and I lower those motherfuckers all the way down, and my husband will, like, he hates it. It's so annoying to him. He's like, what? Why are we so old? And he keeps saying to me, it's not late yet. And I'm like, yes, it's late for me.
Yeah, it's that routine. We think it's that, I like the dimness and I love the way candles smell. Sure. But I'm telling you, your system is what's creating you to do that all the time because it feels safe. And that's the part that feels good.
My eyes crave it now. Like, I can actually feel if the lights are still bright past a certain time, it like hurts my whole body.
What we're talking about is you enjoy what this is bringing you and the softness of the lights. If you did it once, it might feel good. What feels amazing to you is the fact that it is this consistent routine, this predictable thing that happens each night. And that is what at a deeper level is providing you this feel good. So that is why in action step number one, you're going to regulate through routine. And then you're also going to contain the pain. You're going to give yourself moments in the day where you can experience that yucky feeling, and then it's going to close and end. And lastly, you're going to make sure you understand the difference between the facts of the event and the story that you're placing with to that event.
Hey, and speaking of daily routines, part of your daily routine should be going in and checking on Amy's social media. You guys, there's going to be some good stuff there. You don't want to miss it. So make sure you are following her at Amy Neufeld Therapy on all the platforms. They will be linked in the show notes. And should you want to learn more about what Amy offers to the world, go to her website on the World Wide Web. amyneufeldtherapy.com. And lastly, you can email Amy to ask her why she's such a freak show and gets up in the middle of the night to do Pilates. And that email address is hello@amyneufeldtherapy.com.
Okay, that's fair. But I'm just going to give you my final thoughts and take the freakness that I bring at 5:23 in the morning. My final thoughts on this are I want you to go back to what I said at the very beginning of this episode, that the story you tell yourself about the betrayal will have more of a damaging impact of your life than betrayal itself. So if you are going to ruminate and live in the story that you're building that is going to bring you down, you will not be able to move forward and away from this traumatic event. Make sure you're talking to someone about it and utilizing those action steps I gave you. It really does make a difference. With that, my friends, I will see you next week. Bye for now. The Now What podcast is purely for entertainment and education purposes and shall not be used in place of your individual therapy.